to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is a sermon for January 14th, 2024, the second Sunday after Epiphany by the Reverend Eric Williams.
When I graduated from seminary a long time ago, I was very full of myself because I had all this wonderful new knowledge, and I felt it was my job to inflict all that knowledge on everybody. And not only did I want to inflict it upon my parishioners, but I also looked askance at those older clergy. Over the hill, past their prime, clearly they didn't have all the latest and greatest knowledge that I had. There was one priest that I particularly looked down on. His name was Art. And let's just say Art was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Right? He was never going to be a PhD. He was not going to set the world on fire theologically. And I thought, well, I'm certainly better than Art. I mean, what is Art doing anyway? Well, like many young, arrogant people, I got my comeuppance. I learned that I was nowhere near as smart as I thought I was, and that some of those older priests had learned a lot of wisdom along the way, including Art. The more I got to know Art, the more I came to love Art. Art had served a parish for a long time, and I learned that when he came to that parish, they were getting ready to close. The church had been very divided over the years, was considered a very difficult parish, and Art, through patience and loving kindness, over a period of 15 years, had brought that parish back to life. It was a thriving community of young people and older people. It was a lot due to his care and patience and love. Art also ran a couple commissions for the diocese, and brought people together. He was a natural community builder wherever he went. Anyway, long story short, I realized that I would be lucky if I could be half the priest that Art was by the time I reached his age. We learned that, I think, over time. We're not as important as we think we are. We're not as smart as we think we are. And thank God that that is okay. Our scriptures today, I mentioned this story because our scriptures today are full of imperfect people. I absolutely love that. I love that in the Bible, only Jesus is perfect. Every other person in the Bible is deeply human and deeply flawed. And so it is with the characters we meet. Now, in our Bible study on Wednesday, we were discovering that our gospel today, which we usually read just straight, is probably full of a lot of humor. Jesus sees Nathanael and he sizes Nathanael up very quickly, right? Nathanael is invited by Philip to follow Jesus, and Nathanael, who like me was full of himself and knew everything, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Right? All the good people, all the smart people, all the with it people are in Jerusalem. Only hicks and idiots are up in Nazareth, right? They're Gentiles. There's all, nothing good is gonna come out of Nazareth, right? That attitude is everywhere. But Nathanael had it in spades. And so Jesus hears this or sees this or knows this. And when he meets Nathanael, he says, "Oh, here is an Israelite who knows it all." He's mocking him. Jesus is making fun of Nathanael, and rightly so, because Nathanael's vision is so limited. And then Nathanael goes from 0 to 60, doesn't he? He's like, this guy can't be any good because he's from Nazareth. 2 seconds later, he says, "Oh, you're the Son of God." And Jesus is laughing again. He's like, "What is with you, Nathanael? How did you figure that out?" And eventually he says, "You're going to see much better things than this." I love that Nathanael, who is a deeply flawed person, is part of Jesus' community. Jesus doesn't write him off. He doesn't keep him away. Jesus loves Nathanael. He laughs at him, sure, but he loves him, and Nathanael goes on to be a key disciple of Jesus, taking the gospel and spreading it to tons and tons of people. In a similar way, in our Old Testament lesson, we meet some other limited people. Now, Samuel is a kid. We can give him a break. He has not yet met the Lord. He's in the temple. There's a backstory to this. His mother, Hannah, was barren, and she had him as a miracle baby later in life. And she sings a song of praise, which is so beautiful. It's worth reading. But she gives Samuel to the temple, dedicates him as a holy person because he's a miracle baby. So he's there working for the priest, Eli, and then God calls him, but he has no idea who's calling, right? Hello, Samuel, it's God. And Samuel's like, must be Eli. So he goes and wakes up Eli. And Eli, the priest who should know better, it takes him 3 times before he goes, wait a second, maybe this is God. This is Eli's whole job, right, as a priest, is to listen for God's voice. But it takes him a while. And in fact, we learn, if we read the backstory, that Eli is essentially a failure as the priest. He is washed up. He's what I thought my friend Art was, but wasn't. Eli has 2 sons who are a scandal, and Eli lets them run riot. They use their position, and they commit all kinds of crimes, and they get off because their dad is the priest. They use their position for ill. And Eli is kind of in a terrible time for Israel. The word of the Lord, did you read this? The word of the Lord was rare in those days, right? People weren't really tuned in to God. It sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? People weren't tuned in to God's message. They were doing their own thing. And Eli was presiding over a very low ebb for Israel. And yet, it is through Eli, this imperfect priest, that Samuel comes to know God. It is through Samuel, this young kid who doesn't know God, that God accomplishes amazing things. He becomes the most important prophet in the Old Testament, right? Out of nowhere, Samuel becomes anointed by God to do this amazing work. I love that. I love that God uses Eli and Samuel and Nathanael and Philip. God even uses the people of Corinth, who were Paul's worst church, right? Paul writes and founds all these churches all over Asia Minor. He's traveling around sharing the gospel, and he gets to Corinth, which is kind of a cross between Atlantic City, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles, right? It's a very cosmopolitan place where people are living their best lives, let's just say. And Paul tries like crazy. We have 2 letters of Paul to the Corinthians, and if you read through all those letters, you will see it is Paul listing everything the Corinthians have done wrong. You got this wrong, you got that wrong. They think they're super Christians. They think they're special because they can speak in tongues. See, Paul, we're already resurrected. We have everything. The law doesn't apply to us. Morality doesn't apply to us. We are super Christians. And Paul, as if he were talking to my younger self, says, don't get too big for your britches, right? You still need to learn to love. You got to learn humility. You got to learn that it's not about you and what you can do. It's about what God can do through you. And in fact, thanks to Paul's patience, the Corinthians become a place where Christianity eventually flourishes, despite the shortcomings of the people of Corinth. I gotta say, as the pastor of a church, that is encouraging. We don't have to get it all right. We don't have to be perfect. Right? You don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be perfect. We as a church don't have to be perfect for God to use us for the glory and the building up of God's kingdom. Doesn't that give you reassurance? Because when I look in the mirror, I no longer see a super Christian or a great apostle. I see all the shortcomings, the weaknesses, the problems. And I think many of you do as well. And we can doubt ourselves. We can say, well, I can't do anything worthwhile. I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough intelligence. I don't have enough of whatever it takes, charisma, to be a great Christian or a great apostle or to be a great church. And God says to us, no. It is precisely in and through your weakness that I will demonstrate my power and glory. St. Paul later says in his epistles, power is made perfect through weakness. It is not our strengths that make us great servants of God. It is, in fact, our weakness. And in and through that, God does amazing things. This weekend, we celebrate the life of a modern apostle, Martin Luther King Jr., who did so much to translate the gospel into action for the raising up of the dignity of human beings for civil rights in this country, who did it with nonviolence, who did it with prayer and with action. I was at a workshop once. We had the editor of the African American hymnal for the Episcopal Church, Lift Every Voice and Sing, which our choir uses and we do for some of our hymns. A wonderful gospel musician came, and one of the questions, he did a workshop, and one of the questions, someone had just read a biography of Martin Luther King Jr., and they said, what do you make of all of the problems that Martin Luther King Jr. had in his personal life? Turns out, in this biography, we've made him sort of a modern saint, right? He wasn't. He was a human being. He had lots of failings. And the gospel musician said, well, he said, we're a little upset about that biography because we like to keep that in our community. We didn't want it to be so widely known. But it's true, he said. He was a real person. And you lose that when you make him a saint on a pedestal. We lose the fact that God worked in and through this real flawed man to accomplish such amazing things. I think we like doing that. We like putting people on pedestals and knocking them off. We like raising people up and tearing them down. And I think instead, what we're called to do is to see in each other and in ourselves the fact that we are all made in the image of God, and we all have flaws and limitations, and God is working through each one of us, to accomplish God's purposes for humanity. God wants to redeem all of us. God wants to use all of us, and God loves and redeems all of us. I pray that with Eli, that failure of a priest, and Samuel, that young prophet, and the people of Corinth with all of their arrogance, and with Nathaniel and Philip and the rest of those flawed disciples, that we can continue to glorify God in our own way and in our own time, that we can give voice to the good news that God loves us in and through our weakness, and that God's great work is continuing and marching on in our lives and into the next generation. Amen.